WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin.
It's just a matter of what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
The Raw after WrestleMania. This is a Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. A show that featured new champions, turns, possible breakups, and so much more. I'm Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
It's always an exciting time, the Raw after WrestleMania, because we begin the road to SummerSlam, and we build, and we begin building, and oh my goodness, that they begin building things tonight.
By the way, if you're watching the championship game, it's actually a game now. We're down to three. It's a 3-point game with that 10 minutes ago. So we'll keep you updated on that. So stuff that happened on this show included the Street Profits taking on Alpha Academy in your wrestling main event of the show. It was Texas Tornado after they just all couldn't stay out of each other's way. Adam Pearce decided, hey, y'all four can have a fight. They had a fight, which had a finish with an awesome frog splash through the table.
It was a good match. It was a really good match.
We had six-man tag team action. Austin Theory teamed up with the Usos this Friday Night SmackDown to take on the U.S. champion Finn Balor and the Raw Tag Team Champions RK-Bro. Once again, Austin Theory beat Finn Balor.
This was a weird pairing. I'm not even going to lie. Like, it wasn't bad. It was just, I'm going to say, it was odd.
It's an odd pairing, but it worked.
It worked. It totally worked. And you had Austin Theory beat Finn Balor, which I'm sure is what they're building to. But, like, just to me, it was just like, okay. All right, why are the... I mean, the Usos were giving Austin Theory a hard time over the stunner last night. The series of stunners and the beer and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was like, this is so strange. Not in a bad way. Just, this is just very strange.
What was not so strange... But gruesome was the eye of one Bianca Belair, who was a little banged up from her match with Becky Lynch, where she took an inadvertent foot to the face and sort of lucky to be having only just a black eye. She talked about her journey after losing at SummerSlam. She became much better. She learned how quickly it also could be taken away from her. She didn't cheat or injure her opponent to get what she wanted. Lynch did everything she could, even targeted her eye, but no matter what Becky tried to do, she overcame it all. The fans came to expect more from their champion, so she became better herself. She said no woman in the back had what it takes to beat her, because after Saturday, she was even better. She told Becky, use this downtime to find out exactly who she is without the belt, because Bianca Belair herself is the EST and now the new Raw Women's Champion. Good promo.
Very strong promo
Belair. You couldn't do a lot with her tonight, though, because of the eye.
But it was a good way to get her on the show. It was a good way to have her out there and have her say her piece and do her thing without having her wrestle.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important to present her as the champion without just putting her in a match and let her have that moment to sort of bask in her victory and enjoy her victory and basically be like, I did it.
Yeah, and that's what you needed to do. You needed to set the stage for what's to come.
And then, you know, potentially next week you can have Becky come back or you can have a challenger named. Like, that was a thing that they did tonight on a lot of levels was you didn't have the next challengers necessarily get named for the titles. You just allowed the champions to bask in their victories.
Yeah. So when we'll talk about the other champion here in a little bit. Bobby Lashley came out with MVP this time. MVP was missing in action last night. He came out tonight, brought out his man Bobby Lashley. Lashley talked about how Omos is the strongest man he's ever been in a ring with, and he started to doubt himself, but he knew if Omos made a mistake, he would take advantage of it. Out came Omos, and they're about ready to go from behind, and Omos said something, and MVP was like, yeah, that's the Colossus saying, you know, he's challenging you to a fight. And then MVP attacks Lashley from behind. It's a 2-on-1 beatdown. MVP has now sided with Omos.
I think this is a good switch. I will be very curious to see what they do with Bobby Lashley from here on out, but I think this is a good switch because Omos does, well, he has a lot of personality and he exudes a lot of X factor. I think he kind of needs someone to speak for him.
Yeah, he needs a voice.
This will help.
This will definitely help. On this show, after a very successful NXT stand and deliver, we had a rematch for the NXT Championship on this show, and we crowned a new NXT champion in Bron Breakker.
Okay, I'm confused. Why the hell didn't we just do this on Saturday?
I am very confused.
Like, no offense to Bron Breakker. That's amazing for him. It's awesome. Congratulations. Why the hell didn't we do this on Saturday? Like, they literally just had a match against each other 2 days prior. And you're telling me that Bron couldn't bring it home at Stand and Deliver, which is his first what is it called?
Premium live event.
Premium live event. Thank you. It's his first premium live event, and he can't win it on that. They let him win it on Raw, which, don't get me wrong, that's still a big deal. But you couldn't have him win it, like, the day of WrestleMania? Were they just, like, they didn't want to get eclipsed by WrestleMania? Like,
maybe,
what?
Maybe that was the idea.
That's the only justification I can give it, is but that they didn't want it eclipsed.
I can also justify it like this. You wanted to give the Raw audience, because Bron Breakker is probably coming up at some point, a big moment with him, so he's already, you know, gets that moment in front of this audience, so they're familiar. Okay, this guy can win championships, so he won a championship on Raw. That, I can see that being the mindset.
I guess, but I just...
I'm trying to find some logical loophole. That's the best one I got.
I don't know. Like, it was great for him, but it's like, you just, okay, like, you just did this 2 days ago. You just had a whole pay-per-view, like, a whole premium live event, 2 days ago, where he fought for the title, and he lost.
He lost.
Like, what are you doing?
In the case of what they're don't know what they're doing, it was Sasha Banks and Naomi taking on Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan in a championship contenders match, or whatever they call it, which saw Sasha and Naomi win. Rhea walked out disappointed after the match. Liv was confused, and she was confused later, and Rhea's like, yeah, I got us a title match anyhow. Wait, huh?
What? What?
It's like, okay.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. There are rumors swirling that Rhea has been selected for Ministry Edge's group, whatever it's called. We'll get to Ministry Edge in a minute. Anyway, Rhea's supposedly been selected for the group, which would make complete sense, and they're going to split her and Liv Morgan up. This is my opinion personally. It has no bearing on WWE. I'm just going to say it. You know they can go as a set, right? Like, they are aware that, you know, you could have Rhea and Liv as a set in Ministry Edge's group.
They could have been the new Acolytes.
I don't know which one is JBL and which one is Ron Simmons, but here we are.
You beat the judge.
If it's true, okay. I think, personally, they're very good together. They're very entertaining together. They work together. They just really put them together. I don't see the need. And the thing is, it's over. I don't see the need to split them up. But they know better than I do, apparently. I don't know, but yeah. Like, and then it's like, Rhea's like, well, yeah, you know, I was just disappointed. So I got us the title match anyway, which basically devalues the match that you just had because the rules are made up and the points don't matter kind of situation because, well, yeah, we lost, but we got the match anyway. What? Holy convoluted booking, Batman. What the hell?
We'll see if they even get to the match.
We'll see if they get there, but I like them together personally.
I do too.
I think it's a good pairing. Like, I liked Rhea and Nikki together, but Liv and Rhea have that good energy with them. It works very, very well for both of them because it's kind of almost like a Ruby Liv situation again. And that's when kind of Liv is at her best, because I think Liv does need somebody to pair with or bounce off of, because they had her by herself and she did all right. But I think she's just better when she's with someone.
She's better as the energetic second than the full first.
And she brings a nice little something to Rhea that Rhea's missing. And injects a little something into Rhea. Like, it's a really nice pairing. And Rhea can stand on her own. She's proven that she can stand on her own. But Rhea's really great with someone like Liv.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it worked with Nikki. The Nikki stuff worked. Because Rhea's good at playing that kind of, like, comedic straight man.
Yeah.
But she still finds it amusing because Rhea's just that good at what she does. So we'll see where it goes. Like, I would be disappointed if they broke up Rhea and Liv, because I really enjoyed it. I really like it. I think it's good.
So, speaking of the Edge of Darkness.
Ah!
Like, that's good one. You like that one? That was good. Edge came out, the honest man that he is. He said AJ was going to face a Judgment Day at WrestleMania, and he did. He didn't expect Damian Priest to appear, but for years Priest tried to satisfy the sheep just like him. We had a "We are sheep, we aren't sheep" chant, I think. Edge came, then brought out Damian Priest. He said he was lost for weeks leading up to WrestleMania. Crowd was chanting, "We don't care." There was a time I would have been bothered, but not anymore. He tried to please them, but that all changed when they heard Edge's message a few weeks ago. He said Edge's message was for AJ Styles, but it sounded like those words were hit for him as well. Edge knew that Styles would keep coming. Edge then issued a warning. Was issuing a warning to AJ Styles, and that's where AJ Styles came out. He fought off Damian, sending him into the crowd. He was fighting off Edge until Damian Priest recovered, and they left him laying. The fans who were ending up chanting for Jamie Noble as well, who came out to help break things up.
This is the Ministry of Darkness. Yep. I'm going to talk more about it on Thursday, but this is a rehash. A modern rehash of the Ministry of Darkness. I can feel it. Edge has become the Undertaker. He has assumed the role. He even has the goddamn nameplate to prove it.
He does.
Like, they jacked Taker's nameplate and gave it to Edge. Which is not a bad thing. It's just, we noticed that tonight on Raw. I'm not opposed to this in any way, shape, or form. Give me Damian Priest in a suit every week. My ovaries will not be prepared for it, but I'll still take it because I need eye candy, goddammit, and I don't have any. So, I like the promo. I like that the feud between Edge and AJ is not a one and done, that it's continuing. I like this version of Edge. It's still a little weird because he's still being Edge, but it's being in a much sort of like darker presentation. So it's just a little strange at times because of the casualness of it, right? Like, you have Edge and you have Damian in their suits, and Edge is out here talking and he's being condescending and he's doing this and he's doing that, but you have like purple lighting and fog and everything else. So it's just like, what's going on?
Speaking of what's going on, it was supposed to be Queen Zelina and Carmella taking on Natty and Shayna Baszler. That match did not happen because Zelina started blaming Carmella for their loss at WrestleMania, and then took some shots at Corey Graves. They started fighting. Carmella then started making out with Corey.
Okay, this is going to be a big statement coming from me. Can we stop with the trashy storylines? Or at least people tongue-fucking each other on TV. It's more the tongue-fucking each other on TV. Like, I don't need y'all to see y'all doing that with your tongues. I just, no. Mm-mm. And that's just me personally. Like, you want to make out? Okay, fine. Make out. Do a quick kiss and then, you know, take the camera off it and do whatever. But, like, just that level. And it's just mainly because there's been so much of it between NXT and WWE that it's like, can we stop? Can we just stop?
So, I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase it. So first you tongue fuck and then you come.
And then you have aftercare.
Because Veer Mahan finally came, y'all.
Oh, good lord, it's about time. Jeez, he's been coming forever.
After The Miz quickly destroyed Dominic Mysterio, Veer Mahan finally came upon Monday Night Raw and spread all the goodness over both the Mysterios, even choking out Dominic for good pleasure.
He looked good. He looked like a boss. I mean, I don't mean any offense to him whatsoever, but it's very difficult to get excited for someone that they've been, like, teasing since October. Like, I would have been excited in October, possibly November. It's April 4th.
Yeah.
It's a little hard to still be revved up for him when it was just so, so long for him. And we'll see what he does. Hopefully they can kind of regenerate the interest in him a little bit. Because I think it was there because it's to the point that it just became a joke, right? Like, Veer comes every week because we're all 12. And so we make cum jokes and coming and all this other stuff. And now we're going to make aftercare jokes because Veer Mahan, God bless him, has been coming since October. And I don't even know what you can do for yourself when you're doing it that long, right? Like, that is stamina right there. And also, I think at some point it goes dry. Anyway, that's just me. But, like, we'll have to wait and see on him.
Kevin Owens came out, told about big mistake he made, how turns out Austin's still great, and, you know, Austin had to be that great to be one of the greatest of all time. Himself, Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens brought up the bad back, which I mentioned on Saturday was going to be his outlet. He hurt himself weightlifting the day before, and you couldn't tell by the way he walked to the ring, but you know it was there. He was in pain. He said he should have gone home, but the fans needed him, and he sacrificed himself for them. He said Austin to win the record book should be stricken from the records. And then out comes a new man, clean shaven, shorter hair, wrestling trunks and boots. The words Ezekiel on the screen. And everyone's going, who? Who? It's Ezekiel. Kevin's like, you're Elias, though. No, I'm not. I'm Elias's younger brother. Owen says he hates liars, and so Elias said he must then hate himself because he lied to Austin and got stunned. Owen's like, I never liked Elias, and I don't like you, whoever you are, whatever. Gave him a 10 count to get out of the ring. Ezekiel did a budge. Owens left, so we're gonna have to believe his name's Ezekiel.
He legit walked out and I didn't know who he was.
The younger brother of Elias.
I mean, at least we know what happened to him because he's been in the ether for months, I think as long as Veer's been coming.
Longer. Because he was buried before SummerSlam, wasn't he?
Right before or right after. Somewhere in there. But yeah, Elias has been gone for ever. Nobody knew what was going on with him. I think a lot of people were worried that he was going to get let go. And, like, now here he is. At least to me, almost practically unrecognizable. Like, he walked out and I was sitting here. I was like, who the hell is this asshole? You know? It's like, wait, I don't recognize him from NXT. Who is that? And then he started talking and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like, he walked out trying to play something. It's like, who is he? What kind of, like, He looked like Riddick Moss, but he's not Riddick Moss. Like, who the hell did?
Like, it's been, and also it's been so long since you've seen him in wrestling trunks. I don't think I've ever seen him in wrestling trunks, or if it has, it's been literal years since I've seen it. Because I'm used to the baggy tank tops and the jeans and him having a lot of layers, so you don't ever get to see his body and how thin his body is, or how slim his body is, I should say. So, like, it was just the whole thing was just like, who, what, who? And then you realize and you're like, oh my god, they repackaged Elias and shaved him.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, just weird.
It was very weird. So it was brought up in chat that, like, oh, this Raw didn't feature returns or call-ups. We got the return of Elias, Ezekiel. We got the debut of Veer, and the return of Cody Rhodes. It was Elias's little brother, yes. We had the return of Cody Rhodes to WWE. He opens it up going, so what do you guys want to talk about? Brings up how it's been 47 days since he became a free agent. Was it only 47 days? Good lord, the internet was manifesting hard if it was only 47 days. Jesus. And he's heard all kinds of stories told about him. He thought it would be hard for him to return to WWE, but the decision, it was not hard at all. He signed a multi-year deal with WWE. The fans told him he deserves it. Rhodes said any doubts were eradicated on Saturday when he rose through the stage and defeated one of the best in the business, Seth Rollins. He pointed, then we tried to figure out where he's headed next, and he's putting up a picture on the Titantron. Back to a shot of Dusty Rhodes holding up a championship in Madison Square Garden on September 26, 1977. To some, you know, it's Dusty Rhodes, but to him, it's not just his dad, but it was his hero. And Cody starts choking up talking about it. Talks about all the men that have held that championship. Hulk Hogan, crowd boos. The Undertaker, crowd erupts. Shawn Michaels, crowd erupts. And then he looks in the camera, goes, Triple H. Well played. And other greats were hold on about it. That same belt was on his mantle until that same picture was on his mantle. Until his very last day. He said when he was young, he asked Dad, I didn't know you were a champion like Hulk Hogan. And then he talked about how Dusty explained that he never did take home that championship that night because he won by countout. At 8 years old, Cody knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to win that championship. He wanted to take it and place it in the hands of Dusty Rhodes and tell him that nobody can take this away from him. But that dream died when his father died. You know, he couldn't put the belt in the hands of the American Dream, but he could put it around the waist of the American Nightmare. His intentions are clear. He's ready. He's finally ready. He's grown up. He's ready to do it for his family, for himself, for the fans, and for the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Out came Seth Rollins. Cody offers the handshake. Rollins laughs, shakes his hand, and says, welcome home. Everything you could say about Cody Rhodes and the Codyverse and everything like that, both pretty good. It set the story, and that's what you needed. You can tell he was happy to be home.
I imagine that this hasn't been an easy time for him with all the speculation and in the manifestation and people trying to get answers. And I imagine he was probably hounded a little bit with people, especially the media, trying to get hold of him, trying to get information. So it's probably a huge relief that, one, it's done.
Yeah.
And he can now talk freely about it, because that's the other stress, is we don't know how long this deal has been done for. We don't know anything about it. All we know is that Cody was talking to them for some time after his AEW departure. And so he has that relief. And then he also has the relief that it went well, that the fans have been welcoming. They've been accepting of him. It's kind of been this open arms, welcome back sort of mentality where majority of people are very happy that Cody's back in the company. There are your select few who are, you know, really heavy into the Kool-Aid, and they're very upset and they're very angry, and Cody's a traitor and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, at the end of the day, Cody did what was best for himself. He did what was best for his family, and you can't help but respect that. Wrestling is a business. Like it or hate it, professional wrestling, sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it, is a business. And ultimately, all these people that work in it are out there for the same goal. They want to make a name for themselves, and they want to make money doing it. You can say that you're in it for the love of the sport. That's part of it, but you're also in it for the money. And Cody felt that he could get a better deal with Vince, and that's where he went.
Yep.
And now, and I heard he got a pretty sweet deal.
Heard the same thing. So he's now set. He is, as I said, some becoming world champion at some point down the line. Who knows when it's going to be, but at least he made his intentions known, which is a very good thing.
It will be interesting how quickly they point him at the title, if he's going to be the next one that goes for Roman, or if they wait on that a little bit. But I am curious to see, after he's done with Seth, which I'm glad that's continuing on, where he goes.
So the world champion, the undisputed universal champion, as it is now, it's no longer world, it's universal champion. Roman Reigns came out with his bloodline, and he had Paul Heyman talk about all the successes that Roman Reigns has had, including highest grossing this, biggest revenue new year in WWE history, selling out this, grossing this at Rumble and Survivor Series, and all these things. WrestleMania, Peacock growth, 58% up from last year for WrestleMania, which is outstanding, by the way. And then Roman Reigns says he's the last needle mover because he's constantly operating in God mode. He called his shot. He delivered. He smashed Brock Lesnar like he said he would. Other men would hang their hats, but he was moving on because he was a progressive tribal chief. And we find out what's next on SmackDown. Simple, effective, didn't give away much. he got to bask in his glory of beating Brock Lesnar.
Like I said earlier, I am a fan of letting the champions bask. I am a fan of letting everybody have a breather and sort of enjoying the moment of the champions winning. Like, I am an absolute fan of that because it feels like the natural conclusion of the story, especially coming out of WrestleMania, where you had a lot of big stories, you had a lot of big moments, you had a lot of big surprises, big returns, and people are kind of tired. So it's like, you know what? In this sense, it's like Roman stands victorious. Roman stands tall. He stared the beast down and he won. He beat Brock Lesnar. And as far as I can remember, he did it clean-ish.
Yeah, I mean, clean-ish, yeah.
He
had the belt, but that's about it.
He had the belt, but there was no, like, direct, like, any other person kind of interference in a way. Where they got in the ring and they, like, beat Brock up or something.
No, Roman. it was Roman and the belt.
But I like that they did that. Because it makes Roman look that much more like a boss. It also kind of puts to bed the rumors that Roman's injured because he looks fine.
He may be sore, but he is your undisputed unified universal champion.
Now we'll see what happens Friday. But I like this. I like that you had him out. He appeared in front of the crowd. He got a promo. He basked in his glory. And it's really, it kind of does leave you wondering who's next for Roman, because he beat Brock. He's beaten practically everybody in that company. And now he has both titles. What are they going to do? Who's the one that's going to be able to take that one or both of those titles off of him? We don't know. We have no idea. They could be preparing to point an American Nightmare at him, but I don't know. I sincerely don't know. And I like that. I like that you're kind of sitting here going, well, what are they going to do next? Who's going to go for Roman next? Is there anybody that technically can, or do they have to build up challengers again?
That is the most interesting thing. And that's what you want coming out of a big show is who's next. You don't know. And SmackDown's the A show now, so we're pushing everything there. Yeah, it could be Drew, but it could be something new. Drew's not new, unfortunately.
It could be Drew. I mean, you could have Braun walk up to Roman and be like, hey, I got one of those. You want to go? Like, it would be a throwaway, but you could do it. I mean, you could have Brock come back, because I'm sure Brock will come back at some point and won his title back. But they'll save that for potentially SummerSlam or Mania next year. It all depends on how much Brock wants to work.
Indeed. But that will do it for us. Here on the Raw Post Show, it looks like Kansas is going to come back and win.
We'll have to see.
But Thursday night, it's The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going WrestleMania Sunday all show.
We have opinions. We need to talk about things. And yes, we're going to talk about it. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, where it is going to be WrestleMania Night 2.
Night 2. We'll actually tell you what happened.
Yes.
Midnight is. It's another edition of SeaBrainer. SeaBrainerLive.com. Greater than Great Debate.com. Sunday night, it's WTR. Sunday night, WrestleTalkRadio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night. For a Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime link, just for discounts, go Prime Games Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle at the bottom below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSack or
Lin's M Ward.
In the hood on iDom Shopper, Epic Game Store, Hawaii.
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. Same as my Twitter, where I play Genshin Impact Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and on the weekends. We are currently exploring the chasm and doing all the challenges and everything down there. And I found a really big thing tonight, so I'm very excited for the stream tomorrow, 6 p.m.-ish, if you want to come check it out, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward.
Go to lindsward.rockradioshow.com for all the VODs and all the content. Go to youtube.com/rockradioshow for all WWE 2K sim-related content, because there's more stuff coming at some point. There's a lot there right now. Go check it all out. But this has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for WrestleMania Sunday Review, and right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night. Long there is the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
WildTalkRadio.com.